We know hunting for good coffee can be frustrating and time-consuming. And with all the confusing labels out there, it's hard to know that what you are buying is actually mindfully sourced and truly making a difference in people's lives. That's why we put together our Perpetual Joy coffee subscription. Over the last 15 years, Joe Bean Coffee has built friendships with award-winning coffee farmers, ones we trust to consistently bring us amazing coffee year after year. Coffee tastes best at the peak of harvest, which is why we run our program like a CSA, regularly sending you a rotating selection of in-season coffee. You pick how many bags and how often you need it. We do the rest. And you can feel good knowing you're directly supporting small-scale coffee farmers. Go to JoeBeanRoasters.com for details.
Good morning and welcome to a special edition episode of my podcast for this Sunday. I hope you're enjoying yourself. I am, I tell you what, looking forward to a 1 o'clock Browns game today. And I am so, like, I mean, I love that the Bills are good because my wife is really into the Bills and football is just so much more fun when she's into it. However, the amount of night games that the Bills are playing this season is exhausting. And I don't think I could, I don't know if I can be a fan of a good NFL team. I really don't. Because once you start playing these primetime night games, like, I can't be staying up that late. Dude, I don't stay up past 8 o'clock. That's not some sort of weird, like, I just, 10 years in radio screwed me up. I woke up at 2:15 a.m. for 10 years. So for me now, 4 a.m. is like the perfect wake-up time. I know that sounds weird, but it just works. It's a Slumdog Millionaire thing for me where, like, I got so lucky that I got conditioned to enjoy mornings, because without my mornings, I don't think I'd be successful in business the way I am. But that all that to be said is I don't think I could recondition myself to be a night person. By the way, I hate it when morning people... There's like this morning culture. There's like the 5 a.m. club. There's all this stuff about, hey, if you don't wake up early, then you're not really fully dedicated. That's all bullshit. That's not true. I do believe entrepreneurship is fought in the trenches, you know, meaning like the fringes, meaning you got to use either your early, early morning hours or your late, late night hours. And in a lot of cases, your weekends to get your work done, because the meat of a weekday, 8:30 a.m. until 5 p.m. on a weekday, is going to be full of distractions, full of phone calls, emails, meetings, and fires to put out. So you gotta work in the trenches. You gotta work on the fringes, without a doubt. That said, there is this like hustle culture that if you're not at your desk by 5 a.m., you're not a high achiever. I'm somebody who is at my desk every morning by 5:30 a.m., call it, but I don't believe that if you're not, that you're not a hustler. I think that you probably do have to find some fringe time. So if you're a night person, that's fine. There's no difference between 5:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. If you're somebody who can focus at 9:30 p.m., good for you. All I'm trying to say is I can't do it. My mind is mush from 8 p.m. on. 8 p.m. until at least 3 or 4 a.m., nothing's going on. Nothing's happening. It ain't happening. I can't make a decision. No way. Half a brain. So all that to say, I love you Bills fans. I love that the Bills are good. But, man, these night games are brutal. So anyway. All right. As I mentioned, special edition of the podcast this week. This is Podcast-O-Rama. So this was actually recorded a few weeks ago at the Rochester Fringe Festival. We did this downtown at the library at what I think is called the Mary Gleason Auditorium, I think is what it's called. But anyway, you're going to hear a sort of a collaboration episode. So it's funny because it's kind of 2 weeks in a row that I'm doing a Lunchador Podcast Network collaboration episode, vowing my allegiance to Lunchador after what I talked about a couple of weeks ago about turning down going to a major network with the podcast. But anyway, it's a panel. You're going to hear the two founders of Lunchador, Matt Austin and Chris Lindstrom, who together are also hosts on several podcasts on this platform, as well as Emily Hesney Lynch. How about that? When's the last time you saw that? A guest appearing 2 weeks in a row on the podcast. Emily was last week's guest, and she's in this episode too. How about that? And then finally, Michael Huntone, who is the host of Punches and Popcorn right here on the Lunchador Podcast Network. So this was a fringe show. We got up on stage in front of an audience, and we did this episode live. The topics were kind of thrown at us. We decided to keep it light. Like, there was some talk of, should we do serious? So this is just kind of playful, ranking random things, fun things, right? No difficult conversations or anything in here. But anyway, I hope you enjoy. It's a little peek at some of the other personalities here on the Lunchador Podcast Network. Podcastorama.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Lunchador Podcast-O-Rama. We are the Lunchador Podcast Network. We've been broadcasting artisanly since 2024. We're a podcast collective of, what are we, at 12 shows now?
Yeah, 12 plus, yeah.
And we've got a handful of our illustrious hosts with us here today. My name is Matt Austin. I'm the host of the Anomaly Presents podcast and one of the founders of the Lunchador Podcast Network.
Yeah, Chris Lindstrom, the other co-founder of the Lunchador Podcast Network, host of Food About Town, talking food and drink for anything and everything in Rochester.
And what we're here today to do is talk podcasting. It's Podcastorama. So what we decided to do, anybody can do a podcast. That's kind of how we did this. Everybody's got a story to tell. So we kind of came up with the concept of a podcast that we have never done before. So this is a pilot episode of a podcast. We'll see if it sticks or not. And what we're doing is ranking things. It doesn't have to be the best or your favorite. We're going to try to figure out what elite is or what the worst is of a few different topics. I want to go ahead and introduce our panel here. We've got our hosts. How are you, by the way? Everybody okay? Everybody good? Woo! Thank you for coming out. Thank you to Fringe, too, for having us. Much appreciated.
Woo! Yeah.
And we will start with introducing Emily Hesney Lynch. Emily is owner of Serve Me the Sky Digital, a mom, host of It's a Lot, lover of The Rock and Puggles.
Thank you, Matt. Happy to be here.
How many Puggles do you have?
3 Puggles.
Amazing. Next to Emily, we have Pauly Guglielmo, the man with the recipe plan, the boss who makes all the sauce, and the host of the Pauly Guglielmo Show. Hey, Pauly.
It's good to be here. I'm a little upset we didn't go with the 24-hour format, but yeah. Right. Next year.
That's the move.
It'll be you bring your sleeping bags, your pillows, snacks.
We were kicking her on that last night. We were thinking, maybe we do it at one Fringe and then just all of you guys can be guests next year. How's that sound?
Yeah. Just
wander by, stop, tell a story. It'll be great. And next to Pauly, we've got Mike Huntone. Hi, Mike.
Hi.
He is the man with infinite enthusiasm, as I'm sure you noticed as we started to get going today. Not even a broken leg can slow him down. This man is in a boot right now getting up here to do this today. He's the co-host of Punches and Popcorn and the master of Couch Potato Style.
Hi. Yeah, I'm the host of Punches and Popcorn. We're a martial arts movie podcast where we dive into the best, the worst, the history, and the science of martial arts cinema. And as my good buddy Matt here, who helped me found that show, pointed out, I did break my leg quite severely this July. I would like to say it was entering an underground kumite, but it was something much less exciting. But the good thing is that on our show, we have an actual biology professor at Damon. So in our show, we talk about the science that goes into the movies we see. And my friend was able to explain the science behind why I fractured my leg so bad. So it's great to know.
Dude, don't leave us hanging. What happened?
I might be approaching my midlife or in the thick of it now. And I had this great idea that I would... That is definitely not my midlife crisis, that I would try to learn how to play hockey. And to do that, I would try to learn how to rollerblade at the age of 45. And it did not go so well.
Welcome back to the 90s.
It's my first ever surgery, and now my leg is like a Terminator under there, so I'm particularly excited about that.
I'm glad you went to Dom about that, because when you asked me about it, I went, ooh, yeah, you broke that real good. That's a mess. So I'm glad you had somebody that could actually help you.
Right. Yes.
All right. So we kind of already started it, but a big part of every podcast, as you know, if you're a podcast listener, is the fun banter between the hosts at the beginning. We're going to call that segment It's a Lot. Here we are. Hey.
This is professionalism right here.
Professional grade podcasting, guys. So this is how we fix things on the fly in podcasting. This is all a lesson in podcasting. Like we said, we've never done this show before. So we're trying something new. Some things work, some things don't. Anyway, I thought I had a sound. I don't. But what we're going to do is banter time.
Well, the good thing is, Matt, that we could always add the song in post. So
that's right. That's right. Anything you do bad in a podcast, you can fix it afterwards.
Right,
you can. To hear.
News to me, all right? Got to start doing that.
Or it's just a charming quirk, which
right,
we could
exactly.
call it too, right?
Yeah.
So what we're calling this is It's a Lot. We're going to talk about the things that are taking up bandwidth in our lives, things that we're really concentrating on. We're going to try to keep it bummer free if we can.
Thanks, Mike.
I mean, it's good now, right? It's healing.
Yeah, so, I'm walking, yeah. And I have an excuse to dress like Adam Sandler every day, so it's really cool.
You need an excuse?
Yeah, right.
So we'll start with Chris. What's a lot, Chris?
Jeez, I mean, the Fringe Festival's been a lot in the absolute best possible way. We did over 20 preview podcasts for Fringe, and I got to interview like 20 plus different creators coming up with amazing shows, and I got to do at least a couple that were like truly special in my head. And then, I mean, not to minimize what Mike did, but I also broke my finger like 3 months ago. Come on, Mike.
Oh, big deal.
But no, the previews have been awesome and took up a lot of time, and I burned out, but it is one of the best things we've done, and we're really proud of working with Fringe this year.
Yeah, it was a blast.
Chris, did you break your finger? Like, were you like finger rollerblading? Because that would be a fun coincidence. Like the fingerboard?
Right? That would be a skateboard in that case, Mike.
But I'm doing maybe tricks. I don't know. Do they have like fingers rolling? Maybe.
Yeah, he broke his finger doing the tech deck. He was trying to do the 900, and it just didn't pan out.
Didn't work.
Emily, what's a lot?
Well, as folks who have listened to my podcast might know, I am a parent and I work in social media. Those things are both a lot. I have three puggles, as was mentioned. So three dogs, a one-year-old. I run a business. My husband runs a business, and we're renovating our home. So life is just a lot in general. But the toddlerhood is really fun. So it's a lot in good ways, too. So there's a lot of teething, but there's a lot of cozy coop rides, and there's a lot of laughter and fun things. So lots of joy.
Awesome.
Is Paul. There a lot of sleeping?
Not with the molars coming in, oh. And then the molars arrived, and then he immediately started the next set of teeth.
Oh boy.
And then sometimes dinner just makes him really gassy, so he just starts farting and screaming.
I mean, who amongst us hasn't done that after dinner?
That's like Matt's regular Wednesday.
Wednesday? A schedule. Anyway, Polly, what's a lot?
I don't mean to give the same answer, but it's schedules. It's just, it's two kids, plus I have a business, my wife has a business, and it's the exact same answer Emily just gave. And we just can't manage to ever have everything covered. We're always just barely, like my kids are in the car right now waiting for me to be done here. So it's like, there's not enough, like, I'm
it's
sorry,
a secure not, garage, everybody. Yeah, it's fine. No,
that's, and that is a joke just in case. And yeah, my wife doesn't like it, but no, it's the same.
You're in the secret room of the children's section.
Yes. Right? I do need to get up and check on them a couple times. Anyway, it's just all a lot. And we just bought a new piece of machinery at work, and it comes in and it's 15 months in the making. It costs more than most people's homes. It comes in and it just needs thousands of dollars. More worth of stuff added onto it now that we got it in. So it's just a lot.
Well, you had to add the RGB LED lights underneath.
Oh,
so you
oh,
can
yeah, yeah.
You know, sync it with the music, make sure everybody's on the same rhythm.
Yes.
Yeah, it feels good.
Yeah, yeah.
Ground effects.
Mike.
Well,
what's a lot, Blake?
You know, I
don't
will.
Don't get ahead of the question. Even though you know the question, don't get ahead.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Take a moment. Go ahead. What's a lot?
I can go. It's good now?
You're good. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
You know what? I can't even say it's a lot for me, so I'm going to defer my answer to my wife, because who's here in the audience now, and since I took this lovely adventure of broken bone surgery and recovery, I have been basically incapable of doing pretty much anything. So she has had the joy of doing everything in our house for our two kids that are 10 and 13. So that's a really fun age. And all our schedules. And she was teaching summer school. Now she's back to regular school. So anxiety-wise, the whole leg thing and like the immobility has felt like a lot. But it's actually mostly been me like laying on the couch, playing PlayStation, figuring out like what movie to watch while this hero over here has been trying to keep the house clean.
What is your name? Sarah, can I speak on Sarah's behalf for
Please.
A moment?
Me and Sarah, I have
you
a
made
microphone.
It to participate in the Fringe Festival. You can start taking the garbage out again, buddy. All right? You made it down here. You could do.
Let's do a round of applause for Sarah. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah.
Mike got to revert to being a high schooler again, which is his great dream. He really wants to like reverse big his life.
Yeah, it was kind of like for a summer of like Benjamin Button life where.
So when will you be a baby again?
I don't ask Kirsch. I'd probably tell you we're already there.
And that was It's a Lot, brought to you by Emily Hesney Lynch's podcast, It's a Lot, available on podcast servers everywhere. All right, moving on to our games. We're going to start with fall snacks. Who doesn't love fall snacks?
Woo!
It's a time of foliage, potpourri spices, and a slightly disturbing picture of sausage that I found on the internet last night.
I thought that was a donut.
Very savory donut.
I mean, I guess, if it's a sausage is completed in a circle and you, like, fried it, could you consider it a donut?
I don't think you
could. Sausage
couldn't.
Donut?
What do we think? Audience poll, is that a sausage or a donut? Sausage? Sausage? Donut. Yeah. Donut sausage.
Ooh.
Like it.
I like
sausage.
It.
Sausage. Awesome.
Milo's my guy. Yeah.
So, we'll jump in. Boston cream sausage is the grossest thing I've ever heard.
It was my nickname in high school, actually, but it spread lightly.
There'd probably be beans involved with that, right? Oh,
like, it does sound very British, doesn't it?
All right, folks, we're going to rank them. Here we go. It is. Was the animation not working? Oh, everything's broken.
Oh, everything's all broken and on the floor.
Everything's broken.
That never happens on a podcast in the middle of
cider,
a show.
Cider, donuts, tailgate, treats, pumpkin spice, anything. Spice. Apple cider. Chili. And sausage. Or if you want to combine sausage and cider donuts, you're welcome to. So what do we think, folks? Who wants to defend apple cider? Who thinks apple cider is the best fall snack? Who thinks it's the worst?
Is it even a snack? It's a beverage.
It's a fair point.
Oh.
I mean, yeah, I mean, Matt came up with a list, so I think we can attack him about that for sure.
Yeah.
It does have calories. I mean, it is a treat. You know, you go out to a pumpkin patch, you have some hot apple cider. That's pretty hard to beat. It is a beautiful thing on a cool, crisp fall day.
But if you were there, could you just have the cider and be like, I'm cool? I don't need anything else. Like, you need something with it, right? Like, you need that cider donut or a pumpkin donut.
If
or
it's
something.
Like an apple frost from Schutz,
yeah,
that's good stuff.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. So are we saying it has to be a full thought? Like, this is a standalone snack versus, like, something that's just a part of a snack?
That's a good. Well, let me ask you the other way then. So I would vote for cider donuts because that's my favorite, especially Schutz Apple Mill.
Defend
those,
the cider
those
donut.
Are great. But could then the question is, could I just have a donut and not the cider or coffee or pumpkin flavored coffee? I don't know.
Cider's weak. I'm just going to say it right now. It's weak. If you can only make yourself viable for like 2 months out of the year, you're not bringing enough to the table. Apple juice is year round. Apple juice is like the smarter older brother who kind of did its thing. And cider's just, and isn't, how is cider even made? I got to go to the food nerds for this. Isn't it like apple juice? You kind of let it go bad a little bit.
No, you're just squishing it unless it's alcoholic, which is what everybody used to call cider. Mm. That's only cider existed as an alcoholic beverage until like America decided that it was just like fully pressed apple juice.
Yeah.
Only in America would we do that. Everywhere else in the world, it's an alcoholic beverage, which I'm much more in favor of.
Yeah, and it's desperate. It's like, drink me hot, drink me cold. Like, apple juice is just like, I got to be cold, and that's all I'm going to deal with. So, I don't know. Cider, no.
You're saying it lacks confidence.
Yeah, it lacks a lot of things. You know what I'm saying? Lacks a lot of things.
So we find cider lacking. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go with chili.
This is the champion. This is number one. Yeah. I put my reputation on it.
What about chili, Polly?
Because it's a whole, because it does it all. Chili does it all. I mean, you already, what was this thing you said before? Screaming and farting?
Yeah, there you go.
makes it a winner.
Yeah. Chili just does it all. And the great thing about chili, too, is like, if you're like me and you love Sunday sauce, you can go to chili, you can put it over spaghetti. There's a whole city that made that famous, Cincinnati-style chili.
But do we want to give them credit for that? Like, that's kind of gross. I can't get with Cincinnati chili.
How dare you, sir? How dare you? Gross.
Cinnamon hot sauce on pasta? No, thank you.
I mean, we
put cinnamon hot sauce on like way too many things. So.
Like God intended, but not on pasta.
Can I give you a chili secret ingredient? You guys ever heard of mace? Not mace like the weapon, mace like the spice.
I was going to say, like, Mike, have you covered any movies with maces in them?
Mace. It's like a cousin of nutmeg.
Ooh.
Oh, it's good in chili.
Oh, okay.
So. Emily, are you somebody who makes chili? Do you like making chili?
I'm vegetarian, so I might be the wrong person for this portion of the panel because I would rank sausage and chili kind of low.
Ooh.
I don't eat meat, so.
I don't
eat
either.
Chili
a good vegetarian
fine,
chili?
I'm not much of a chili person to begin
gotcha.
With.
Because of the farting and screaming.
We try to minimize that in our household.
Sure, the one-year-old probably gives you enough of that.
Oh, yeah.
I have been thinking about making chili. They're doing a chili contest at work, and I was thinking, like, how much of a project am I going to make this? I'm like, how many different versions of dried chilies do I need? Am I going to grind mushrooms and roast them? Am I going to come up with my own savory ingredients and make a vegan version and dominate everybody else with my insane... work on making a chili, or am I just going to go and judge everybody else, which is way more fun.
Can we take a moment to talk about your process here for whenever you make anything?
Oh, yeah.
From a spectator perspective. So
please,
for everyone, our studio is in Chris's dining room. So thank you to Carrie, who is Chris's wife, for allowing us to take over her dining room to put a podcast studio in.
Mm-hmm.
So we come over to record, and on Sundays he makes batches of things, and then he will tell you this list of obscure ingredients that he found somewhere, like in a chest at the bottom of the lake. He went in and found it, and there's only three of them that's ever been imported to America, and he got a half of one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the only thing that you can put in your chili, or else it's illegitimate and nobody can eat it.
Right.
I mean, was the ingredient cursed? It's hard to know, but was it delicious? Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And then your freezer always ends up like Frankenstein's lab, where it's just you've had these variations of creations that you find lacking, but anybody else would eat and be like, this is incredible.
Yeah, because I was going to say, in that chili contest, somebody's going to do Hunt's tomato sauce, yeah, ground beef, chili powder, and salt and win. Yep.
Yeah. And then right. I'm just going to hate myself. I'm going to hate everybody else. Uh-huh. And
like,
it's going to be a delight.
Chris is out making a deal with a bog witch.
I'm going out to my...
The mandrake root.
Yeah, I'm going out to my Mexican grocery store and getting like six different dried chilies and toasting them and like...
Selling it for $47 a cup.
It's the only way I know how to do anything.
Meanwhile, I get the McCormick's packet.
Right.
It's not bad.
Again, like God intended. Anyway.
So chili, pretty good.
Chili's
but...
up towards the top, huh? So we'll go with, let's say tailgate treats next. And what I mean by tailgate treats are the things you'd see on a table at a Bills game before it gets broken. So your chicken wings, your chips and dips, the stuff that comes out, your mozzarella sticks, that kind of stuff that you really only see, well, for the most part, either at tailgate time or when you're at a sports bar.
I don't know what you're talking about. That's like 24/7. as much as I can eat it.
Is this all part of your regression to high school situation?
Yeah.
A lot of that stuff's in my passenger seat right now.
Right.
Yeah. Everything from a snack shack.
Yeah.
See, this is my thing, and this would be my argument against chili also, in that I think tailgate treats or chili isn't a like just fall thing if we're talking about fall treats. In the least, also, especially chili, also is great throughout the winter when you need that like cold stuff.
Right.
So like fall, you're kind of like, you're bridging the season. So it's like, you might not want something that's super hot yet, but you need a little pick.
Here's my argument for chili making the list. That first bowl of chili you have in the fall hits the hardest.
Ooh,
and then
yes,
you're just chasing that for the rest of the winter.
It's true.
Right?
That's true.
Are we talking about
you're
the
like
diminishing?
Train spotting your chili all summer.
Yeah. Yeah, chasing the chili dragon, which is probably a euphemism for what we were talking about earlier with the screaming.
So this is the diminishing returns of fall stews is what we're talking about.
Exactly.
Economic term, sure.
Yeah.
The more we talk, the more cider donuts rises to the top for me.
Yes.
I think sometimes if you have like the worst version of something and it's still good, then that might make it a winner. Like I was at Tim Hortons and had apple cider Timbits, and even those were really good. They weren't like local or anything, but they were tasty.
Yes.
And it is very fall. It's
very fall.
You can't, it's very fall and it's hard to get it any other time of the year. But I mean, that's also pumpkin spice everything or anything. Do you have feelings about pumpkin spice?
I am, excuse my language, but I am a pumpkin spice slut.
Eat, right.
Drink anything that has pumpkin spice in. Oh, I should have said earmuffs for my daughter. So. Or Milo. You can dad yell at me about this. Anyways.
Really wasn't where I thought you were going with that.
The point here is that I love pumpkin spice pretty much everything, and I will, as soon as it's available, and my wife enjoys it also, so as soon as stuff starts coming home from Aldi's on our grocery trips, that's it for me.
I once ate a pumpkin treat every day for 31 days of October, and it was so fun, and then I burned myself out on pumpkin.
This is not easy for me to
do. Standing ovation. Wow.
Thank you.
Wow.
Wow.
Has it come back?
Pumpkin custard is so good.
Ooh, pumpkin custard.
We had pumpkin custard at Don's Original. Highly recommend.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the last part of fall, getting out to the lake. Ooh, hard to beat.
Yes.
Also, a little tip for pumpkin custard. Those tiny chocolate chips, you put that on there.
Ooh. I had it with chocolate sprinkles.
Yeah.
That's good.
Pumpkin and chocolate, you can't beat
yes.
it.
Yes. And pumpkin, by the way, comes in season August 1st. It's August. It's not Labor Day. It's August 1st. I'm with him. I am a basic earmuffs. Me and my wife, but if I could combine the last two topics of football and pumpkin spice, we are the most basic bitches at my house. I am watching football and she is drinking pumpkin spice lattes and I am here for all of it.
Yep.
Every Sunday. Oh, yeah.
See, I can't abide by cloves. I hate a clove. It is one of my least... there's very few things I really detest when it comes to food. And cloves as a spice, I absolutely hate. As soon as there's cloves, I am completely out.
Mm.
And like that's why pumpkin spice was always out for me, was cloves.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Whenever you see like, oh, you studded a ham with cloves, out. Like, I had some Haitian food the other day with cloves. I don't know why there's cloves in it, but I didn't like it.
Do you just not like cloves, or is there something about it that you think is, like, just not a good ingredient?
It's that weird, echoey, like, anisey thing that's hard to define about cloves.
Yeah.
It kind of dominates all the other flavors, but I don't know. There's something about it that just never rang right to me. But I understand why everybody likes it. I mean, like, do you make a pumpkin spice sauce?
Well, I do. Pumpkin pasta sauce, actually, yes. But cloves are in all, like Rochester meat sauce. It's in a lot of them.
Yeah.
But it's at like 0.01%. Yeah.
Yeah, because it tastes like antiseptic to me. It's a very odd flavor.
A little goes a long way for sure.
It does tend to fill the mouth as soon as you get something with it.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
So I think we maybe have our list, right?
I think we're pretty close.
Okay, so what do we think? Are we going with... Well,
did we talk about sausage? Did sausage?
Oh no, sausage got. Thank you, Polly.
Kind of donuts are one, right?
Yeah. No,
it seems that way.
Yeah.
Second. Should we do a vote? We do have an audience.
We have an audience. We can do a vote.
Just a little. Yeah, I think so.
So,
but like, like, is sausage really ranking on this list for any of us?
There's too many vegetarians and vegans on this panel, okay?
I mean, for me,
that's true.
Also, there's two.
He's vegan.
Yeah, that too.
I didn't know you were vegan.
Uh-huh, yeah. Long time.
Yeah.
Also, I just kind of threw sausage on there because I found that picture. We don't really have to.
I wasn't aware of it. It didn't make sense unless I put it there. Summer sausage. Is there fall sausage? Is there pumpkin sausage?
I'm sure.
Oh, yes.
Have you been to Trader Joe's? I'm sure.
Yes. Yeah. There's a place in Webster called Costanza's that has, they've done like jelly bean sausage. Like there's everything. Okay. Everything.
Can you put it in a casing? They will.
They will try. Yeah.
Yep. All right. So I guess we'll put it up to audience vote after our really persuasive arguments for all of these. We'll start sausage. Anybody think sausage is the number one fall snack?
No.
Cool. That's fine.
Okay. Zero. Wow.
Chili. Anybody think chili is a number one fall food? 0-2.
Oh, we got one. That's pretty good. Okay.
Could I chime in as just a little bit of radio experience? It's an audio medium, so you got to make noise if you're voting.
Yeah.
So we vote with noise. Yeah.
Yell, clap, whatever you like. Apple cider. Anybody think apple cider is the number one fall treat?
No. Okay.
I'm going to pop for the next one.
Snack. We'll go snack. Number one fall snack, apple cider. Mm. Tailgate treats, number one. I see some yes in the crowd. All right. We got pumpkin spice anything.
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds good. Tailgate treats.
We did that one.
No. Chili? Oh, tailgate treats.
We did chili. We did the
we're on the cider donuts.
tailgate, like football food. That's fair.
Very nice.
Okay. Chili.
Am I allowed to vote twice?
Oh, yeah. No, I did that already. I'm lost, guys.
I'm the last one.
I'm trying to create anticipation. Is it
as we said up front, anyone can have a podcast.
We're gonna edit this out in post.
Oh, sorry, guys. Cider donuts.
Yeah.
Woo!
Fair enough.
I think cider donuts wins.
Conclusive.
I'm really not a fan of you right now because you've set this all up, but I don't see any cider donuts in front of me. So now I just got to sit here for at least another like half an hour thinking,
need, like,
where's
Steve
my damn
Shoots
donut?
To show up with like box after box of donuts.
There should, right, and like chili and the.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Next year.
There's always next year. We can get a host that knows what he's doing and a box of donuts. And it'll be great. Sorry, this year you're stuck with me and no donuts.
Welcome to the world of Punches and Popcorn, where we dive into the bone-breaking and kung-fu-kicking world of martial arts cinema. Join us on the path as we explore a new movie every episode, discussing the history, fighting styles, science, and more from a broad range of fight films. Everything from Bruce Lee to Jean-Claude Van Damme to John Wick. There's plenty of room in our temple of couch potato style. So listen in and subscribe to Punches and Popcorn on your favorite podcast app.
I'm Chris Lindstrom, the host of the Food About Town podcast. If you want to learn more about the Rochester food and drink scene and beyond, with a good dose of nerdery and personal stories on top, then Food About Town is for you. I've been writing and podcasting for over 10 years, and I'm so thankful for all the support from the community. Subscribe to the Food About Town podcast today and hear from the people that make and love the food and beverages you can't stop enjoying.
Next topic is cryptids. Hello. next topic is cryptids. Cryptids are creatures whose reported existence is unproven by science, though people claim they've seen them. And we've got options on this one. It's Sasquatch. Everybody familiar with Sasquatch or Bigfoot?
Yes.
Great. The Mothman. Everybody knows the Mothman. Anybody not know the Mothman? Mothman is a winged cryptid from Point Pleasant, West Virginia, known for being a harbinger of doom. Sightings occurring in the 1960s, just before the tragic Silver Bridge collapse. He is a tall humanoid figure with large wings, glowing red eyes, and glides silently through the air.
Pretty scary.
The Jersey Devil. The hockey team. Also a cryptid that is supposed to inhabit the forests of the Pine Barrens in South Jersey. And Nessie, the Loch Ness Monster. Everybody knows Loch Ness Monster?
Yeah. Woo!
All right. So let's get it started. Sasquatch. Is Sasquatch the best cryptid?
Now, I have a question because we were discussing this before we came up, and someone had asked if Sasquatch was Bigfoot, and I said, oh, yeah, it's the same synonymous, but I hear that there's actually a, like, regional difference, like a Champagne thing going on here. So I don't know if, like, somebody knows and can explain. Here I've just spending my whole life thinking Sasquatch is Bigfoot, and apparently I've been wrong the whole time.
It's Sasquatch in the Pacific Northwest. Anywhere else, it's sparkling Bigfoot.
Okay.
I mean, Sasquatch is a classic, and there is, like, so much, you know, so much discussion about it. So many grainy photographs. Like, you can't get more grainy photographs than you can about Sasquatch or Big Feet. And I think that, I mean, it's a legend because of how much it has been photographed and never captured. Like, how elusive. Like, I think that's an important part about being a cryptid, is you have to be elusive.
He's giving the least, though. Like, he doesn't have a vibe. What is his deal? Like, there's no...
Where's the aura?
Excuse me. Have you not seen Harry and the Hendersons? That is aura for days.
I have not.
That's true. Oh, well, now you've got some fun entertainment out of you tonight. Yeah.
If he can teach Lithgow the meaning of family.
Exactly. It's, yeah, to me, like, it has a monster truck named after it. Like... I think if you say cryptid to anyone, to me, like, that's the first thing they're thinking of is Sasquatch or Bigfoot, depending on what region you're in.
Yep, most famous. Yeah. Loch Ness Monster, maybe, but no, I think Sasquatch is most famous.
Not to, like, belabor on it, because I'm still just very stuck on this Bigfoot and Sasquatch conundrum. Is this, like, a soda and pop thing? Like, you know you're from Western New York if you call it Bigfoot.
It's kind of a halfway in between thing. It's Sasquatch or, like, you're a human, but you're also Mike.
That's valid.
Debatably.
So all or Mike, Sasquatch? I don't know.
Yeah. Right.
Is it one of those where all Sasquatch are Bigfoot, but not all Bigfoot are Sasquatch? Is it one of those things?
Bigfoot is a Sasquatch, but not all Sasquatches are Bigfoot.
Okay, got it. Okay.
I'm getting confused.
All right.
A really fun book, if anyone likes weird fiction, is Patricia Likes to Cuddle, and it's about a queer Sasquatch kidnapping people on a dating show. So... check that one out. It's a good time.
I mean, as you do.
Yeah.
That sounds great.
Can I just reveal myself as being dark a little bit?
Yeah.
By telling you why Mothman is actually the winner here.
Yeah, absolutely. Ooh. Please do. Okay,
yeah, please do.
Because didn't they base the movie Jeepers Creepers off of it? And I know there's a lot of cinephiles in the room. I am a nut for a horror movie where the bad guy wins. That is dark. I understand. Should I be arrested immediately? Maybe. But for whatever reason, when the bad guy actually wins, I'm like, that was ballsy. I love it.
So Creep, you like? I mean, Hereditary, you're a big fan of.
There's a few, yeah. You Saw, I liked it. Saw was that. I don't love all the gore necessarily, but I did like the end of the first Saw when it's just like, and the bad guy just wins. I was like, that's, I never saw it coming.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, Milo.
So what? It's like 25 years old.
Yeah, right. Milo's looking forward to watching that and not being spoiled.
It's just spelled Saw. Just hit purchase. Dad's fine.
Right. If you go to Just Watch, you can find what app it's streaming on. So good.
Cool. Thanks, guys.
No, I would like to support your Mothman. Mothman is so cute, and like they even made recently a like. Yes! Look at that. That's a face.
The cutest.
How can you not love that face?
We have an adorable little plushy Mothman on the stage.
Did you get that at Build-A-Bear?
Soft. No, he's from a press. Hazy Dell is the name of the press.
Oh, okay.
And there's a matching children's book, which I've read to my one-year-old many times, Mothman Baby.
Now feel like a failure as a father that I did not read that to my children.
It's pretty new, so.
Okay, well, hopefully new enough that I can redeem myself. But there was a Build-A-Bear of Mothman. Like,
does that mean he's jumped the shark, though?
In my opinion, Mothman could never jump the shark because as soon as you think that, that's when you're going to start ignoring the warnings and then boom, bridge in your town is crossing. And let me tell you, I get scared enough driving over the Ontario Bay Bridge. Like, I don't need to think that I've jinxed Mothman about that thing.
Mothman's also the one with the statue where he has like a nice butt that people like to touch, right?
Oh, yeah, sure. That's right.
Yep.
We should both be arrested.
He gives people a reason to go to West Virginia, which my apologies if there's any West Virginians in the audience, but I couldn't think of a single other reason I would ever want to go to that state.
Wow.
I just don't know anything else. That, and that's not like a, I have a thing against West Virginians again. I just don't know anything in the state other than Mothman, but Mothman is enough of a draw. I would go.
I've heard there's like one good donut shop, but that's only because I listen to My Brother and Me. That's really it.
That sounds about right.
That's it.
That's all I need to know then. Yeah. Mothman and donuts. All right, I'm in. Sarah, we are going next summer. Family vacation, West Virginia.
Mothman
probably affordable.
Find an Airbnb for us if you can.
Do you imagine working in tourism in West Virginia?
Come theoretically see a Mothman.
We could deep fry anything down here.
It peaked with John Denver and it went down from there. That was it. Like everybody showed up in 1976 and not a soul since. Sorry if you've got West Virginians in the house. I apologize. Going on to the Jersey Devil.
I mean, I think we can all say we don't like the trap. We don't like the hockey team necessarily.
It's true. They did kill hockey for about 10 years.
But I mean, the Jersey people never stop talking about the Jersey Devil. I mean, this is a legendary cryptid, and it is certainly one of the weirder looking cryptids I've seen.
It's a very unsettling picture.
Yeah. This is if you can't see it, we've got kind of a woodcut of what the Jersey Devil looks like. And it kind of looks like if you took the back half, a camel, lopped off the front legs of the camel and then put bat wings on it.
Uh-huh.
That's what we have is a Jersey Devil.
Camel
which,
plus pterodactyl, maybe?
Camel-dactyl. I like it. Yeah, so that's the Jersey Devil. Anybody have feelings about the Jersey Devil? Is this the apple cider of the cryptids?
Jersey can keep them.
I mean, I think it's kind of cool because I don't hate the hockey team, but I'm a Blackhawks fan, so I like Western Conference teams, so I don't have for you Sabres fans the like interconference rivalry with them. And to me, being a hockey fan, if you're cool enough to have a professional sports team named after you, that's pretty elite status.
It is pretty good.
Pretty good. So them and the Ducks, right? That's the only two.
Yeah. In the north of Jersey, it's referred to as like Taylor Pork Devil. So you have to just depends on if it's like the north or the south of Jersey.
Nice. Now we're getting sausage-related cryptid humor. Yeah. Crossing all the streams here.
Well, and then like I'm sure during like that one Sopranos episode, they ran into a Jersey Devil like off screen when it went black.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a whole episode of the Blair Witch with Polly and yeah. No, I don't know. But there's something there. It's gone now. I'm sorry. Moving on to the Loch Ness Monster. What are our feelings about the Loch Ness Monster? Polly, to your point earlier, possibly the most famous, if not second most famous cryptid in the world.
Mm-hmm. I don't like it because it's like provable. It's provable that it's not real, right? Like because you could, there's a finite amount of space where this thing can exist. Can't they just scan the whole lake and call it a day? Yes or no? Did I kill it with reality? What happened?
I don't think you can prove a negative though.
That's true. You can't. It hid the whole time.
Yeah, it's possible.
You could say that.
Well,
just keep swimming.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's got to relax at some point. Doesn't it kick its feet up in the evening or something? No?
Merges with the muck.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. There's so much other muck and everything else in the lake. And
I love Nessie. She's like the it girl. She's got mystique. She never puts herself in the limelight. She's not been like canceled. She's just chilling and doing her thing in Scotland. Like she's an unproblematic queen.
Ooh. I mean, that's pretty unimpeachable. And I got to say, like, I think it's a delight that, like, so many other places have their own Loch Ness-style monsters, a sea monster. I just learned as part of the Fringe previews that Lake Ontario has its own Loch Ness-style monster called Rondi. The Arundhatuid Bay sea monster. So, like, you know, take a look when you're crossing the bridge in the morning. Look out for Rondi, the Arundhatuid Bay sea monster.
I think Cayuga Lake also has one.
Yeah, and then Lake Champlain too. You got Champ right in Lake Champlain.
Yep.
I mean,
she's an inspiration, Nessie, to so many.
Yeah,
that's true. I like. You know, I'm gonna. I think Emily has won this. In my opinion, I'm putting my vote in for Nessie.
That to complicate things, I also have a book about chupacabra for children. Yeah. So if anyone wants to vote for chupacabras, that's also
Dark Horse. Option. Do we want to talk about Chupacabra real quick? See if it bumps anybody out.
Well, I like that it's specific to a place more than the others. I mean, Jersey, if we count Jersey as a place, if we count West Virginia as a place, like at least it's not a US-based cryptid. I mean, Scotland too, but like that's not a US-based cryptid at least.
It's got its own culture.
Yeah, I mean, real authentic Chupacabra culture. Mm-hmm. So what about chupacabras
well,
for you, though?
In this book, the chupacabra wants to eat this poor goat, and the goat ends up making him a snack shaped like a goat, and then they just have a snack together. So it's very sweet. He is very happy when he has a snack.
That sounds adorable.
So it's like a Snickers commercial. It's like, you're not yourself if you haven't had a goat-shaped snack.
Yes.
Like the T-Rex in Jurassic Park.
Right.
Kind of the same mentality.
Shall we do a vote again for this?
Let's open it up. It's from left to right this time, so I can't mess it up. Let's go with Sasquatch. Who thinks Sasquatch is the number one cryptid based on our arguments today?
Ooh, okay.
Nice.
Okay, we got four. That's not bad.
The Mothman.
I vote for two.
Okay, pretty close.
The Jersey Devil.
No, boo. Boo, Martin Brodeur, boo.
That's rough.
Jersey's either a suburb of New York or Philadelphia.
Wow. And your favorite cryptid's favorite cryptid, the Loch Ness Monster.
Woo!
All right. Shout out, champ.
It's tough between Loch Ness and Sasquatch. What do we think? Who pulled it off?
Ooh.
Should we go again just between the two?
Yes.
All right. Sasquatch.
Sasquatch!
Oh, my Sasquatch people died off there a little bit.
I get a new vote now because mine got eliminated, right?
I thought you got Mothman
at
Loch Ness.
Loch Ness.
Woo!
Woo! Yeah.
Nessie wins.
It's Nessie.
It lives in the sea. I mean, maybe there's a pineapple involved. It's hard to know.
I think that Sasquatch and Nessie would want us to agree they're both great because, they're friends. They got to be friends. I think they're friends.
Yeah, exactly.
So we can agree, surf and turf, Sasquatch and Loch Ness Monster.
I think that's the first time they've ever been referred to as that.
Hopefully. It's a great tag team name, isn't it? Moving on to our final game of the day. I know you're sad. It's planets. Everybody knows the planets.
Ooh.
We included all of them, even Pluto. And the sun. The sun is a ball of incandescent gas.
I mean, even though Smash Mouth said you could be walking on the sun, I don't believe them. So, I don't think it's true.
So here's the deal. I stole this picture from like a third grade lesson plan, Milo. Is this third grade when you learn the planets? Second grade. So I stole this from a second grade lesson plan. So the sun is just on there because everybody needs to know the sun. So we'll start with Mercury instead of the sun because obviously it's not a planet. I mean, everybody knows that.
Wait. Are we only doing planets from our solar system?
Did you do too much studying?
Yes. Star Wars planets. Those are the only planets I know. Geez. I was like Dagobah, Mustafar. I don't know, Hoth. Like, it's hard to choose one of those.
I mean, Huntown's a big Kashyyyk fan, I'm sure.
Have you seen a Wookiee? You can't now. Nah. All right. Well, I'll let everybody else talk, and I'm going to have to, like, remember what's not a Star Wars planet.
I mean, Mercury is, it's very hot, very hot. I mean, and the substance, not great, not great. It's cool, but don't hold it. I mean, it was around when I was a kid. Like, we had a vial of mercury that you could just hold in your hands. Wouldn't recommend that for your kids. it's not cool from that side, but it looks awesome. And, like, with it being so close, that's pretty neat.
Okay. Anybody else have feelings about Mercury?
No.
Venus? Only Freddie Mercury. He's the greatest singer of all time.
That is a great Mercury. All right.
Freddie Mercury, everybody. Venus?
Oh, it's where women are from. Wasn't that a thing?
So said the book. It's hot enough in New York in the summertime, let alone a planet that much closer to the sun.
All right.
No?
No.
Are we going with the home team, Earth?
Indifferent.
So this is the only one I've actually visited. So okay.
It's only one. That's fair.
Would not recommend.
Here. It's okay. There's problems, but there's good things too. My kids live here. That's a plus.
That's good. Yeah. I know where to find parking, so that's cool too.
Yeah, it's parking's always a problem on Earth, so like we have to take that into account. There's lots of free spaces on the other planets.
But there's a lot of waterfront property because we're like 75% water, and who doesn't like a waterfront vacation? So
true.
Possibilities.
I mean, you don't know. You haven't been to the other planets. There won't be a ton of water there.
Oh, that's true. We don't know. I mean, I could tell you some Star Wars planets where there's water, but I guess that doesn't count.
All right.
And I was ready to talk all about Geonosis.
All right, Mike, tell us about a Star Wars planet.
No, we're staying on course here.
Yeah, we're definitely never going to bring it up again.
Right, I'm totally not going to.
Mars?
I have a lot to say about Mars, actually. Great. If I could, just real quick.
Yes, please.
Didn't they literally find evidence of alien life this week, and it didn't even make the top five of the
news
cycle?
Wait, really? Mm-hmm.
The ancient, they think that it's the, they don't have any other explanation. Am I crazy?
Tiny biological thing. It's not like a architecture or anything, but yeah.
Yes. But something that is potentially life that they found that they have no explanation other than that it maybe was some sort of evidence of life, and nobody even heard about it. It just didn't even scratch the surface of the news cycle.
I was still stuck on the fact that Hershey's has a new toffee candy bar out there.
Wait, what?
Missed that one.
No, everybody's fascinated.
Can we go back to the fall snacks? Because I think we've got a new entrant.
I mean, with that much culture in life, like we've definitely found more culture and architecture than was in like New Jersey. So I think, that is really cool. Wow. That's pretty neat.
West Virginia and Jersey are coming for us.
Sorry, Jersey.
It is pretty neat finding something there. And I know we've had rovers go there. Yeah. So we've got like exploration. Exploration's cool. Like, kids love talking about space.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you go off the edge and then you end up somewhere else. It's hard to know.
Quado lives there for my Total Recall fans.
Excellent. Mm.
As long as Cohagen lets the people have air, then we're...
How long can you go there, Mike?
If Dom was here, Dom could keep this going for hours. Dom, if you're listening or you listen afterwards, I'm sorry, I tried to live up to your great example.
So Emily, any Mars thoughts?
Really have Mars thoughts. I'm waiting to like cheer for Neptune.
All right.
Ooh, okay. Ooh.
Well, I do kind of actually would like to go back to the sun. Did we officially skip the sun?
I mean, we should talk about the sun.
I got a lot of grief from the audience for including it. I mean, we can talk about it.
I just want to say that maybe the most I've ever laughed in my life was when Ollie G was interviewing Buzz Aldrin and asked, why didn't we go to the sun? And Buzz Aldrin said, because it's too hot. And Ollie G went, what if we go in the winter when it's cold? And I've never laughed hard. I've been laughing for 20 years at that. So
it's pretty good.
Yeah.
I might vote for the sun now.
Yeah. I mean, and otherwise, like without it, I think things would go less well.
Yeah, I mean, we're all kind of relying on it if we really want to go that way. But I did hear from the audience it's a star, so it can't.
Oh,
it can't
okay.
Mm-hmm. Although I did say we have the microphone, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, and there was a documentary about like, you know, things stopping called Geostorm. Great documentary.
Oh, yeah. Who was in Geostorm?
I think Gerard Butler was narrating it. It's really good.
Okay. I thought it was like one of those. It was Caster Bandy and...
Oh, really terrible.
And Rutger Hauer.
Tremendous.
Well, one of the things that sent me into dread recently, a really buzzy book right now, that there's a movie coming out soon, Project Hail Mary. Have any of you read that?
No.
Like, so it's really good. Highly recommend. Hopefully the movie's going to be great. But like from what I remember about the book, it had to do with these, like, the premise for it had to do with these, like, parasitic type beings that remove, like, take heat from the sun. And it's by the same author as The Martian. And if you saw that movie, you know, lots of science that they make consumable. The gist I got from this was that it's like, if the tiniest bit of heat comes away from the sun, we are like so screwed. Like the planet is going to end like that. And it was really comforting to think like, oh, a super tiny, tiny change could end all life on this planet. So respect to the sun, because It's doing a lot for us.
Thanks for bringing the mood up, Mike. I really appreciate that.
Wow.
Did I? That's what I'm here for.
Put no bummers on this slide, too. I guess we'll go on to Jupiter from there. I don't... Anybody?
Jupiter is one of the best movements of a Holst symphony, so I would say Jupiter is pretty cool from
that. I agree wholeheartedly. And Holstead's in the house. What's up?
And speaking of gas giants that we were talking about earlier,
there you go.
I mean, how do you beat that? It's pretty neat.
Mm-hmm. They have a lot of moons too.
It's the big dog.
It is the big dog.
I mean, and there's great songs about it from one of our finest modern musicians, Train. It is an important planet when it comes to that. Like, if you don't have a great song, what songs are about Mars? Like, nothing. There's nobody's ever written a song about that.
Stop right there. You are so incorrect.
Bro.
I will stop this podcast and physically fight you.
Bite,
the punches and popcorn,
bro.
Yeah.
And Mars Attacks, by the way, for movies, one of the greatest.
Also, maybe one of the greatest songs written of all time, Life on Mars, David Bowie.
Yes.
Ooh.
Come on.
Oh, Chris.
I mean, that is a check in the right direction there.
Man, I really got physically angry just now. No songs about Mars. My head hurts. moving on to Saturn.
Well, this is going to be a sore point for Bills fans, but in the football fan world, as Paulie was talking about, among competing fandoms, really like to talk about who's got rings and who doesn't. And in the planet game, Saturn's the only one that can throw down that I got rings. Everyone else is ringless. So, Saturn is like the Dallas Cowboy fans of the.
Hey, Mike, you might want to turn around.
Let me just be careful about, doesn't Uranus have rings?
There's another ring right there.
Oh, yes, there is a ring around Uranus.
It's dark, yeah.
That's true.
there
goes my whole plot.
It is known for it, just like Tom Brady, known for rings.
True.
Also known for not eating tomatoes, and being
is
one
it
of
also
the,
a terrible dad. <and
husband>. Oh, yeah. I defend what you've just said. I mean, what is Uranus known for, right? The other one's known for the rings. Uranus is known for nothing.
Right, right. They're like the Seahawks, where you're like, oh, you forgot they won that Super Bowl once.
Yeah. And it is actually Uranus.
It is actually Uranus.
42 years I've been screwing that up.
Well, I think what happened was we're all of a certain age, and it was Uranus when we were in school, and then they realized, and then by the time 6 years later, my brother went through those same classes, it changed to Uranus. Mm. Which, if we think about it, isn't that much better.
Wouldn't you have loved to be in the room when they made the decision, when, the Department of Education, may it rest in peace, when they were like, you know what we should do? And just somebody had to suggest, no more Uranus.
Just one really grizzled science teacher. I can't handle one more year of these children doing this.
Talking in front of Congress, just like...
Well,
if
things continue, we'll have a news story from the current administration that we're going back to Uranus.
Oh, yeah. Don't want Trump. We'll definitely go back to Uranus if that guy finds out.
Uranus, brought to you by Palantir. moving on to Neptune.
Ooh. So, Emily, you were excited.
Yeah, Neptune has a chill vibe. She's hanging out, doing her own thing. She's kind of similar vibe to Nessie, actually. I think they're like sisters.
I like that.
Based on vibes.
Yeah, and what do you think about Neptune's salad? This is a Midwest salad.
Salad.
Is it like a Jello salad?
Yeah, it's one of those Midwest kind of salads. Lots of mayonnaise.
Pause. I want to poll the audience. Who here has ever heard of a Neptune salad before?
We have.
Yeah, there it is.
Two people in the audience. There's 75 people in the audience and two.
7,500.
A retro salad composed of various seafood such as small shrimp, crab, or imitation crab in a mayonnaise-based dressing. I mean,
yeah.
KP, get excited about mayonnaise-based sauces.
Yeah, I've never had shrimp before, and why this needs mayonnaise.
That sounds like an Upper Peninsula delicacy.
You compare it with the Boston cream sausage.
That's pretty good.
Isn't there a pasta, a sauce that has seafood mayonnaise? Dead serious. Isn't there one?
Mayonnaise?
It's like...
Mayonnaise
now, I will say, like,
It's like, hold on a second.
I mean, there are lobster rolls. Lobster rolls have mayonnaise.
Yeah.
Like, that's Maine true. Thinks it's important. Oh,
yeah. They also have. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maine foods. I just need to say, I'm sputtering here. So, Maine foods, the folks in this room, Maine has hot dogs the color of this red on the top half of the screen.
Mm.
So, I don't know if we all 101% rely on Maine culinary opinion.
That's fair. That's fair.
They are delicious, but they are terrifying. They are cherry red like Kool-Aid.
I do love the color of Neptune on the screen right now. It's making me feel very calm.
It's nice.
Like, I've been panicky, and it's feeling comfortable. It's feeling nice.
It's like a marble.
Yeah.
I feel like I have to support Neptune because I was just sitting here completely ignoring and erasing her rings, and she's got a ring, and I have... I disrespected Neptune, so I gotta go.
I really thought you were gonna say you were erasing your notes.
My
about
lord!
Wow, Mike.
I feel
it's
like
I broke my brain.
I want to get back to Polly because I think maybe did you find that?
I did. It's right. Tonnato, T-O-N-N-A-T-O.
Oh sure.
It is anchovies, mayonnaise, tuna, capers, olive oil, and lemon juice.
See, this is from you people, though, right?
Yes, my people are responsible for
yeah, this is an Italian
this
sauce.
Is an Italian thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to get kicked out of here.
We all are. We're in deep trouble now.
Yeah.
It's getting weird. All right. Any last thoughts about Neptune before we go on to Pluto?
I don't have anything more on Neptune.
All right. Pluto. What do we want to say about the smallest planet, the planet that Neil deGrasse Tyson thinks we shouldn't count anymore?
Now, you referenced getting canceled earlier, Emily. Pluto got canceled at one point, right?
Yeah.
And now it's back. So kudos, I guess. Earned its way back in.
There's got to be something to be said for it, right?
I guess. Why did it get
is
canceled?
Is it back officially? Or just for us? I think it's just for us, right?
Well, let's go back to the Google.
Let's go back to the Google.
I mean, you know, Pluto really needs to get with the times. I mean, you can't be stuck in an 80s and 90s mindset. You have to be now. And it's like it's a bit retrograde. Like, not that we're talking about like rising or falling when it comes to these things. it's an important thing. You need to be up to date. You can't get past the times.
Pluto is not a planet, according to Google, by the way, since 2006. So
you're trusting Big Search Engine to tell you what a planet is,
yes,
is what you're telling
that's
me.
That's right.
Excuse me, I'm going to ask ChatGPT.
Oh, yes.
ChatGPT.
I'm going to search on Ask Jeeves. That's really the only source of information that I trust nowadays.
Hey, yeah. Grok, is Pluto a planet? So I'm going to counter-argue here, my friend.
Mm.
Pluto has to be stuck in the 80s and 90s because that's how long it takes for the information to get out there.
Oh, right. That's
so
true.
It is as current as today's headlines by Pluto standards.
Mm.
That's right.
So you can't count it out.
Yeah, Pluto says all the Avatar movies already, and we don't, you know?
All that.
Far ahead.
Yeah, because everybody's waiting on bated breath for the third Avatar movie. Something about the sky, probably?
Fire.
Oh, it's fire?
Fire.
Okay.
There's one person in this crowd, at least, that I know is very excited about it. He's giving you a death stare.
See, tell him.
I was just thinking of Captain Planet when it comes to this stuff. And we're not talking about Captain Planet.
He is our hero.
Yeah.
Going to take pollution down to zero.
Yeah.
All right.
We go back to Mercury for a second.
I think we should.
We got to rank them last because all the people are always like, Mercury's in retrograde. My life is hell. It's not my fault. It's Mercury. You know, so Mercury's really, they're a mess. They're causing problems.
I agree. Mm. So let's see. Let's take a quick vote here. Who wants to eliminate Mercury like we have Pluto and just not talk about it ever again? Everybody? Right on. I feel like we've done something good today, folks.
Mercury, not a planet. Got it.
All right, now we'll go for best planets. We'll run through really quick. Applause for Venus.
Okay.
Hey, okay, I like it.
You got one. Earth. All right.
I agree.
We are very biased.
Right. Mars.
Woo!
Big on Mars. Jupiter.
I'm all for Jupiter. I like it.
Saturn.
Woo! Ooh.
People love a front runner. Uranus. Right on. Neptune.
Woo!
Ooh.
And Pluto.
Wow.
Oof. Jeez, everybody agrees with Neil deGrasse Tyson. Just remember that when the next time comes up.
That's right.
Just remember.
You forgot. next time he points out that a movie you love is incorrect because the stars weren't right for a half.
You are now aligned with him. That's how this goes.
You voted for this. Right. So I think we have a consensus that everybody likes the planets. I didn't hear anybody really love them. Oh, we'll give it to Earth.
Boo. Yep. Too hot, too cold, too much water.
Do we have to?
Blinky, blinky, here we go. That was the end of our show. Donk. Thank you very much for coming in and watching this kind of work in progress pilot episode of a podcast. We came up with this obviously pretty much on the fly, just to give you an idea that you can do it too if you really want to. Anything you want to do, you can get a microphone. We bought all this stuff on Amazon for a couple bucks, and we just make stuff. And if you have a story to tell, tell it. We are the Lunch at Our Podcast Network. We've got Mike Huntone.
Woo! Yeah.
Paulie Guglielmo.
Woo!
Emily Heston Lynch.
Woo!
Chris Lindstrom.
Woo!
I've been Matt Austin. You've been great. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Hope we see you next year. We're Lunchador. There's some tickets, some stickers and coasters and all sorts of good stuff on your way out. If you want to take them, check us out at lunchador.org. Thanks. Have a good day,
everyone. 24 hours next year.
Cheers. Marathon 24 time.
24 hours next year. Meet us in one fringe place. You can be a part of the fun.
This has been a presentation of the Lunchador Podcast Network.